Amen. Thank you for that tonight, Tyler. Appreciate the message and song, and appreciate the opportunity to preach tonight. It's my turn to be up and to preach to the camera and a few here in the auditorium, and so I guess I'm always nervous, but I feel even more nervous now because I can't make eye contact with everyone, and I do appreciate Pastor Tidd's fervency in preaching, even amidst a nearly empty auditorium. It's been an encouragement, I know, to myself to see that there's no doubt he's been preparing like normal and been delivering God's word. And I appreciate how God's been using him. And just thankful for the opportunity tonight just to preach what God's put upon my heart. If you'll turn to Psalm chapter 116, I will tell you this is just before we begin is one of the things I do get to see is the comments that come along with this on Facebook and YouTube and get to see the shares and likes and things of that, and that's always neat to see. But I want to warn you, I can also see the analytics. I can tell when you click off of YouTube, and so I can see right at the start mark of 6:17, all the drop-offs of people stop watching, and so you'll hurt my feelings, so make sure you don't do that. At least keep it on, put it on mute, and go into the kitchen and make yourself dinner if you need to. But anyways, just stick right in and pay attention to what God has for you tonight, even through technology. Thankful for the technology side of this, and God is able to use that. As we come to Psalm chapter 116, this is a passage that had been on my heart since the beginning of the year. In fact, I wanted to preach it back in February, and the Lord just didn't give me peace about it. And now I know why, because this is the time that he wanted it delivered. And it's a message that God's put upon my heart. So I want to share with you tonight what God's given to me out of Psalm 116. We'll read the entire psalm beginning in verse number 1. It says, I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplications, because he hath inclined his ear unto me. Therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the pains of hell gat hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous, yea, our God is merciful. The Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low, and he helped me. Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. For thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believed, therefore have I spoken. I was greatly afflicted. I said in my haste, all men are liars. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. O Lord, truly I am thy servant. I am thy servant and the son of thine handmaid. Thou hast loosed my bonds. I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of thee, O Jerusalem, praise ye the Lord. And let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, so much for this day that you've blessed us with, another Lord's Day. And Lord, I know that the circumstances that we're facing now, even leading to the service tonight, Lord, you're very much aware of it. And Father, as we gather here tonight, for those that could be here and then the rest that are gathering with their families and with their loved ones, Lord, around a television or around a screen or a device of some sort, Lord, I pray and thank you for the opportunity to deliver your word. And Father, we've come to the most important time, not because I've got anything to say or deliver, Lord, but because it's your word. And Father, I pray that you would just use me as an instrument in your hand. And God, I pray that you would just bind the devil from distracting us, and may our sole focus be upon you and your word. God, I pray that you would just use me as an instrument in your hand. And Lord, I pray that you would just be honored and glorified. And Lord, I pray tonight as we look into your word that we'd get exactly what we need. And Lord, again, I pray that you would bless your word, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. So on March 11th of this year, the world as we knew it came to a screeching halt. It's kind of one of those things, I think, where you'll remember where you were or what was going on when this kind of all began to show itself, the coronavirus, to be much more serious than what was initially thought of. And really, at that point on March 11th, I don't know that there was even a death in the United States from the coronavirus. And There had just the week before been the first case in the state of Indiana. And we were at the Capital Connection in Washington, D.C. And just the week before that, they had their first case in the D.C. area. I think on the Sunday before that, it's the first time we heard about that. And it was on that Wednesday night, the Capital Connection was over, and we were, my wife, myself, and my daughter, Abby, we were driving to meet Brother Andy and Aubrey, and then Brother Buddy and Miss Hallie at a restaurant. And as we're driving there, I'm listening to Indiana University playing in the Big Ten tournament and listening to Don Fisher announce the game, and we were beating Nebraska pretty good. So I was excited about it because it was leading into my favorite time of the year, March Madness. I was going to take a couple days off the next week to sit at home from noon to midnight and watch games nonstop and enjoy those 2 days. I was looking forward to it and listening to Indiana. And we went into a commercial break and then came out of the commercial break. I was almost to the restaurant. And Don Fisher says, as the announcer of Indiana, he's like, this news has just broke. The NBA has postponed their season. Rudy Gobert of the Utah Jazz has tested positive for the coronavirus. And it was at that moment, and we sat down at dinner, and we kind of all knew that things were going to change, that things were going to be different. Now, the good thing is, looking back on that, is that for the first time since 1987, Indiana ended their season with a victory. So that was the only good thing of the night that I remember. But talking about some of those things and sitting there, we all kind of, it was all surreal. We kind of knew that things were going to change. We didn't know exactly how. I can tell you this, looking back now, almost 8 weeks later, it's not at all what I imagined it would be. It's been something kind of surprising. It's been testing and trying at times. In the 2 months since, so much has changed. We've quickly pulled together live streaming here at the church. We've learned what a Zoom meeting is. We've heard the phrase social distancing more than 500,000 times, I feel like. We've wrestled with what an essential worker is, and I can tell you that I believe every worker is essential in our economy. But we're dealing with stay-at-home orders, and really for some, not much has changed at all, other than maybe not being able to join together in a church building for a worship service. They would look and say, well, really, much really hasn't changed for me. But for others, there have been severe consequences. Many have been furloughed from their jobs. Those in the healthcare field and emergency services have been on the front lines. There's people that are dealing with loss of pay, loss of savings, loss of retirement investments, and sadly, even the loss of life. But fast forward a year from now, or just a few months from now, hopefully, and things will be closer to normal, if not normal. And the question is, how will we look back on this time? When we're on the other side of this and we're looking back, what would we say once we're on the other side of the coronavirus? How will we feel? Now, in relation to our passage here, I want you to think about David and what David had gone through. He was just an unsuspecting teenage boy keeping his father's sheep, and without asking for it, without seeking for it, without even dreaming of it, he was anointed to be the next king over Israel, and it would forever change his life. Think about the day where his dad sent him to check on his brothers in battle and bring them some snacks. He had no idea how drastically the events of that day would forever change his life, both good and bad. He's brought after that, after defeating the giant, not long after that, he's brought in as a hired servant of King Saul, and almost immediately, Saul eyed David. In fact, he so despised David that he threw a javelin at him in hopes that he would pin him to the wall on more than one occasion. And it wouldn't be long after that where David would begin a life on a run, a life fleeing the city, sleeping in caves, hiding in temples, constantly fleeing an enraged king who wanted him dead. After several years of this, Saul now is dead, and David still isn't king over the entire kingdom because Saul's son has divided the kingdom and would be 7 more years before he would sit as the king over the entire nation of Israel. And now, having endured all of that and gone through all of that, David sits on the other side of these incredible trying times of his life and these events and reflects. And as David thinks about and dwells upon what's going on, he starts Psalm 117 with this declaration, the first 4 words of Psalms 116, I love the Lord. Sitting on the other side of everything that he had gone through and looking back and seeing what had happened and taken place since then, he couldn't but help to say, I love the Lord. Now, when we think of David, we know him to be a man after God's own heart. From Acts chapter number 13, we see that. And when we think about this in terms of ourselves, there's no doubt that God loves us. The greatest demonstration of that love was giving his son for the sins of mankind. John 3:16, Romans 5:8, verses we're familiar with. And we love him because he first loved us in 1 John 4:19. And we too, like David, can say, even after facing the unimaginable and the unplanned, sitting on the other side of it one day, we can say with complete confidence, I love the Lord. Now let's examine David's psalm together and look into this. And I think God's got some things for us here from Psalm 116. So first of all, looking in verse number 1. We'd ask ourselves, and I think the answer is going to be pretty obvious, but what's the reason for David's love? What's the reason for David to say, I love the Lord? Well, in verse number 1, he makes it very clear. He says, I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplications. So here is David sitting here now on the other side of that. He is saying with confidence that he knows that God heard his voice and his supplication. And then in verse 2, he says, he hath inclined his ear unto me. David took great comfort in knowing that God heard him. This was something that now, having gone and endured through all these things and looking back, he could say with complete confidence that God heard me. I love the Lord because he heard me. Now, this is a practice that if you would study through Psalms, you would see it repeated time and time again, where David is crying out to God, where he's begging God, or he's bringing his petitions to God. He's praying before him, all along knowing that God will hear him when he prays. Now, knowing God hears you gives you confidence to continue to cry out to him. That's why David did it time and time again. He knew it wasn't falling on deaf ears. He knew that God was hearing his cry and his petition and his prayer when he was crying out to God. Every time God heard him. Now, the great thing is with this with God is we don't have to wonder if God hears us. When I call out to him and I pray, I don't have to sit there and wonder, okay, did he hear me? Did it work this time? Did it go through this time? That's not something we have to deal with. Now, I'll tell you this, as a parent, sometimes I wonder if my kids hear me. And it seems like it gets even worse when there's a screen in front of them. Whether Natalie's watching a cartoon on television or Brady's playing a video game or Abby is watching a murder mystery on Hallmark. Yes, my 13-year-old daughter likes Hallmark murder mysteries. But anyways, you watch those things and it seems like you can say something and then you wonder, all right, there's no action. Did they hear me? And it's not really exclusive to them. I'm guilty of that as a parent. My kids will tell you this, that if my wife is typing on her phone for any reason, that whatever you say to her, she is not going to hear. They know that. They'll tell you that. And I don't say that against her because I'm guilty of that. When sports is on, I know she wonders if I hear what she says. But I've not been able to use that excuse for a couple months now. So hopefully we get back to live sports and I can ignore her request. No, that's not what I meant. But anyways, sometimes I wonder, did they hear me? Did they hear what I just said? But I don't have to wonder if God hears me. I don't have to wonder if it fell on deaf ears. I don't have to wonder if he was distracted by something else. I don't have to wonder if his attention was turned somewhere else, because as his child, he wants to hear from me, even as we heard and learned this morning as Pastor preached. He's paying attention to us. You know what that's like sometimes when you're talking to someone and you know that their mind is somewhere else. And you know you're saying something and you're asking something. And then they realize that you asked something. And then they got to say, oh, I'm sorry, I wasn't listening. What did you say? It's kind of like teaching Sunday school sometimes or preaching. You wonder, are they listening? Are they paying attention? And we all want to be listened to. We all want to be heard. That's something that we'd like to take comfort in. Now, there are certainly hindrances to our prayer, but when we know there is nothing between our soul and the Savior, we can know that he will hear and answer our prayer. It may not be when we expect him to answer. It may not be how we expect him to answer. But we can have the confidence in knowing that if there's no sin between me and God, that if I'm not asking amiss, that if I am not neglecting prayer, that he's going to hear me and answer it. Hebrews 4:14 says, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Now, one of the things that struck me as kind of humorous was not long into this coronavirus thing and the social distancing is that the Pope came out and told people that it's okay during this time, you didn't have to go to a priest, you could actually go directly to God. And we sat here knowing all along we could go directly to God because of the Lord Jesus Christ, the mediator between God and man. We can go to him in prayer and know that he hears us. Matthew 7:7, "Ask and it shall be given you, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you, for everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened." God wants to hear from his children, especially in their time of need. God never gets tired of us asking. You know what it's like as a parent with a toddler sometimes, and maybe Brother Buddy could relate to this with twin girls that are 3 or 4 years age, and the idea is that a lot of times they ask a lot of questions, and they continue to ask things over and over. I remember my own kids when they were in that, and honestly, sometimes as a parent, I wish they would just be quiet. It kind of grates on you sometimes, or they're always asking questions, and it's just leave me alone for a second, but it never gets like that with God. Even as Pastor had said this morning, he's our Father, we're his child. He never tires of us coming to him with our needs. We can go to him in prayer, knowing that God will hear and answer that prayer. He has the ability to help with anything. Nothing is too big or too small. But what's great is not only did David say that God heard him, but he says this, if you look in verse number 2, "Because he hath inclined his ear unto me, therefore will I call upon him as long as I live." He says he inclined his ear unto me. Now, what does that mean, to incline? Well, to help you understand this, I'll use a word that means the exact opposite of that. And that's a word we're familiar with in recline. And perhaps tonight some of you are reclining as you're watching church. And I'll tell you this, that starting next Sunday, you're going to have to stop doing that because Pastor's not going to allow recliners in the auditorium. And you might as well get used to sitting up and paying attention in church without reclining. But we are familiar with what that is. Now, to incline is to do the opposite. So recline, we lean back or lean away from something. To incline is to lean forward towards something. To bend our ear towards is what he's talking about with God. So when he's speaking about God, he says that God has inclined his ear unto me. He's leaning forward to hear David. Not only does God hear us, but he's eagerly inclining his ear toward us, waiting for us to come to him again. Think about that. The God that created the entire universe and everything in it, who sits on his throne on high, is leaning forward, just waiting to hear from his child. He's inclining his ear. Now, I'll tell you what, when we sit in David's spot, or we're sitting where we're at and we're looking at what God's bringing us through or what he's brought us through, and we understand the fact that not only is God hearing me, but he's inclining his ear towards me, I can't help but to say, I love the Lord. I love the Lord. I think of it as someone who's feeble or weak, and a loved one leans in close to hear what they have to say. Or I think about a young child who's having a hard time forming the words they're trying to say or the question they're trying to ask, and that parent or that grandparent inclines their ear towards them and leans down close to them and wants to hear and understand what they're saying. I'm thankful that when we're feeble and when we're weak or when we can't form the words we want to say, that God is there inclining his ear toward us even in the midst of our trials and is there ready to hear our prayers. And that's a reason why we can say with confidence that I love the Lord. David says that I love the Lord not only because God heard him, but because God helped him. Look at verse number 6. Verse 6, it says this, "The Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low, and he helped me." He helped me. In verse number 8, he says that he delivered my soul from death. In verse number 16, thou hast loosed my bonds. So not only did God hear David, but he did something about it. He did something about it. Listen to how David described where he was without God's help. Look at verse number 3. He says this, the sorrows of death compassed me, and the pains of hell got hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. In verse number 6, he said that he was brought low. In verse number 8, he says this, for thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. He talks about in verse number 10 that he was afflicted. And through all of it, God helped, delivered, loosed David during these times. And I can stand here tonight, and I know you know this, but I think sometimes we need to be reminded of this, that God is able to do something about anything that we're facing. That he is able to take care of and to help with it. Now, too often what happens is we want to be eager to talk to those who can't do anything about it instead of spending time talking to the one who can, and that's our God. John 4:4, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Romans 8:31, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? That's the one I want to go and talk to. That's the one I want to on my side and to spill my guts to, is the God that has the ability to help me in the midst of my trials and troubles. Now, the thing we have to remind ourselves of is that God doesn't always deliver us from trials. Sometimes he delivers us in the trials. Instead of taking it away, he wants to take us through it. God doesn't always deliver us from the valley, but he delivers in the valley. God may not deliver us from the giant, but he delivers us in the presence of the giant. God may not deliver us in the fiery furnace, but he may not deliver us from the fiery furnace, but he deliver us in the fiery furnace. He may not deliver us from the lion's den, but he delivers in the lion's den. He may not deliver from the storm, but he delivers in the storm. Because no matter how low you may seem, it's never too low for God to see and God to help. The only one that can keep God from hearing and helping us is ourselves. We sit here in a spot like David where we're looking back, and I can tell you this, the only thing that's going to keep God from hearing and helping me during this time is myself. I think about what Isaiah said to the nation of Israel in Isaiah 59 verse 1. He says, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. And this is when he's warning of judgment. But he says in verse 2, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. The message from that applies just as much to us today, that it's not that God can't save, it's not that God can't help, it's not that God's not willing to, but too oftentimes the one that keeps God from helping and hearing us is ourselves and not taking those things to him. So we know that David says that God heard and God helped. I want you to see the result of David's love in verse number 5. Once David has seen and recognized that God's heard and helped him, he's declared that I love the Lord. This is what we see here, is a recognition of the goodness of God. In verse number 5, he says, gracious is the Lord and righteous, yea, our God is merciful. Gracious is the Lord and righteous, yea, our God is merciful. David says this, first of all, God's gracious. God's gracious. As I've gone through this and I know that he's heard me and that he's helped me, I can tell you this, that our God is gracious. Gracious is defined as favorable, kind, or benevolent. David was reminded of how good God had been to him. And there's really no greater example of the graciousness of God than the grace that is extended to us through salvation. We know that. And when God hears and helps us, we see his graciousness towards us. As we sit here tonight, the truth is we don't deserve salvation. We don't deserve his help. We don't deserve his benefits, but by the grace of God, he's given us these things. And we look here and we can sit in David's spot and we can say, as God's brought us through these things, as God's delivered us, as God's loosed our bonds, as God's been there and helped us through it all, we look back and say, I love the Lord because he heard me and he helped me. And I can't help but to say, but God is gracious. God is gracious. But he doesn't stop there. As he continues to talk about our great God, He says there that he's righteous. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. May I say this tonight, that God is always right and just in what he does. And I know that's something that we know, the sovereignty of God, but I think we have to remind ourselves of that often. That God is always right and God is always just. That God knows exactly what he's doing. You think about him being righteous, and he's not unrighteous to forget or to ignore us. He's always good and he's always right. Now, that's not easy to say in the midst of our trials and tribulations. That's not an easy thing to recognize, but it's the truth. Because Psalm 116, verse 5 says, the Lord is righteous in all his way, or not 116, verse 5, but it says in another passage, that the Lord is righteous in all his ways and holy in all his works. Now, oftentimes what happens is we're going through something and we kind of become an over-analyzer of God. And we kind of overthink it and we try to figure it out. But the truth of the matter is that we don't need to spend time over analyzing God and stop trying to figure everything out and just trust that God is in control and knows what he is doing. And that's best done by recognizing that he hears me and he helps me. And David, having gone through all this, he says, you know what? Not only is God gracious, but he's righteous. And what he's allowed to happen in my life and what's gone on, I can say this, he's always right and he's always just. And that's something we remind ourselves as well. But he says also of our God there in verse number 5, he says, our God is merciful. Our God is merciful. Now, to be merciful is to be tender and compassionate. And there's no doubt that God's been merciful to every single one of us, even in the midst of this. I think of a verse like Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Thankful for the mercy of God. And when we see that in God, we recognize and understand how merciful he's been to us. So not only is David's, as a result of this, David recognizing God and how good he is, but look at verse number 7. David says this, return unto thy rest, O my soul. Return unto thy rest, O my soul. This is rest for a troubled soul. David says, I've been through it. I've gone through it. I've dealt with it. And I've been on the run. And I've been ripped from my home, obviously with his dad's consent, but understanding that he's there for Saul. And then Saul eyes him from that day forward. And he spends life on the run. Then he has a hard and difficult life, getting to the point where God wanted him all along. But as he looks at that, he could say that, you know what, my soul's been troubled. You know, stress and trials impact us both physically, mentally, spiritually, emotionally, in every way. That's one of the things that I remember Pastor talking about as we got into this initially, was that the church most certainly is essential business, because it helps not only the spiritual well-being of people, but the mental and emotional well-being of people as well. And that's something we certainly recognize and understand, because stress will impact us both physically, spiritually, mentally, emotionally, however you want to say it, it has an impact on us. Now, I've definitely felt some of that during recent home remodeling, some of which Pastor talked about this morning. I've been to Lowe's more times, Lowe's, Home Depot, Menards. I've been there more times in the last 2 months than I have probably my entire life combined. I'll break something, I'll forget something, I've got to go back, I need something else. I'm doing all these things I've never done before in trying to fix my house, and it's been quite stressful. And to help put it into perspective is, I think back to when I was an intern and we were extending the hallway out here and then building the Ron Midgley walkway. And in the course of doing that, I remember some staff meetings. I was just an intern then, but I remember staff meetings, and Pastor would talk to us and say, all right, we've got the trustees coming this Saturday. We're doing a work day, but we're still going to have visitation. So I need the skilled labor to plan on being here Saturday with all the men to work. And Brother Aaron and Brother Doug, you guys are running soul winning visitation. So I wasn't skilled labor. So that's not me. Now, thankfully, I've learned a lot of things over the years, but I'm still not skilled labor. And I laid floor, and I've broken plenty of boards, and just buried my head in my knees sometimes and just thought, what in the world am I doing? And anyway, all these things that have happened, it's been stressful. And sometimes I just had to step back and say, you know what? I know it needs to be done, but I'm just not touching it today. It's impacting me. Cranky Aaron's not fun Aaron, all right? So my kids know that. My wife knows that. But that's just the toll it takes on us. But think about what people are dealing with in this pandemic, and it can most certainly stress us out. But in recognizing God's bounty and benefits towards us, we can find rest. So David says there in that verse, he says in verse number 7, "Return unto thy rest, O my soul." You recognize what God's done, that he's gracious, that he's merciful, that he's righteous, and that he's heard you, and that he's helped you. How can your soul not be at rest? To realize that God's in control. God knows what he's doing. God's got a plan that he's working through all of this. We just simply need to count our blessings. Focus on what God is doing and just simply give it all to him. I think of Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 through 30. "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." God wants us to experience peace in the midst of whatever it is we're facing. Now, the last thing tonight, verse number 12, I want us to see the rendering of David's love. Now, before you accuse me of stretching things just to be alliterated, some people had no clue this has been alliterated, but rendering is in this verse, verse number 12. And I love this verse. David asked this question, "What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me?" What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits towards me? To render is to return or pay back. David asked himself this question. What God's done, what God's delivered me from, what God's brought me through, how do I pay him back? How do I return that love to him? And we understand tonight we don't pay for our salvation. We don't pay God back in any way. But we think about returning that love towards him, rendering our love towards God. And that's the question David asks is, how do I do that? You guys know this, that if you love someone, you want to demonstrate your love to them. You want to show them that you love them. And David's saying that, I love God, and I want to render or pay back or return the love he's shown me back to him. What you'll see in this passage, and we won't take time to break all these things down, there's quite a few things, but David makes a series of declarative statements, most beginning with, I will, and then one other that we'll look at as well. But he says over and over again, I will, I will, I will, I will. And we see what it is that he is trying to teach us about rendering our love back to God. We'll go through these quickly, but first of all, look at verse number 2. He says this in the second half of the verse, therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. Verse 13, same thing. He says, I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. And then in verse number 17 at the end, he says this, and will call upon the name of the Lord. David says this, I'm going to render my love back to God by calling on him, by praying. And we certainly heard that in the message this morning, but David understood that it worked before and it would work again. He says, as long as I live. And it's not just a petition for request, it's a prayer of worship. Much like the Lord's Prayer, hallowed be thy name. But he says this also in verse number 9. He says, I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. This is a twofold recognition in this verse. He says, I'll walk before him. But first of all, it's a recognition that God sees how I live my life. He says, I will walk before the Lord. I will live knowing that God sees. Because we know that God sees the heart. I love what God told Abraham in Genesis 17:1. He says this, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. We have to live a life of commitment and devotion to God with an understanding that he sees what I'm doing. And I can't let myself forget that. But it's also a recognition that others see how I live my life for the Lord. He says that in the verse number 9. He says, I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. Yes, I'm walking before God, but that is done amongst other people. I'm not isolated unto myself and living for God. It's seen by other people. We think of Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. I could tell you this tonight, that the unsaved aren't interested in seeing how you live for God on the mountaintop. They look at that and say, well, that's easy. I mean, the money's good for them and their family's healthy and their health is good. That's no big deal. But I tell you what will speak volumes to them is how you live for the Lord in the valleys, how you live for the Lord when time is difficult, how you walk before the Lord in the land of the living. David says, I will walk before him. He says in verse 14 and 18, I will pay my vows to him, understanding that he desired to obey and to follow God and to live for him. But then he says this in verse 16. He says, I am thy servant. He says it twice. I am thy servant. David the king saw himself as a servant to the King of Kings. We talked about this in rendering our love to someone. We want to show them our love. We want to demonstrate to that. I want to render my love to my wife, so I serve her. I want to render my love to my kids, so I serve them. I do things for them. I want to render my love for the Lord, so we do things for him. It's a way of demonstrating our love, is to recognize our service to them. And then the last thing is this, in verse 17, he says, I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving. Very simply, I will be thankful to him. David's saying, I'll be thankful. This is a reference to the thanks offering that's mentioned back in Leviticus chapter number 7. When we have grateful hearts, we can't help but to offer our thanks to God. Looking back, we can say, God, thank you for how you brought me through that. God, I want to praise you and thank you for what you've done. And we certainly have much to be thankful for. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. David says this at the beginning of 1:16, I love the Lord. And as we're dealing with this today and we're thinking about what's going on, and again, I understand that there's different levels of what people are dealing with, but we can sit here or stand here today in complete confidence and say, I love the Lord because I know he's heard me. I know he's helped me. I recognize how good God is and that my soul can find rest in him, and because of that, I want to render that love back to God. And the good thing is, we don't have to wait till we're on the other side of this to recognize exactly what David did, is that I love the Lord. And I want to be able to say with complete confidence tonight that I love the Lord no matter what. No matter what we've gone through, no matter what's taken place, we can look back and say with confidence, I love the Lord. If you would, go ahead and close your eyes and bow your head. Appreciate the attention tonight. I can feel it from the Holy Spirit of God, just people being tuned in, and I'm thankful for that. I know this is the message God had for us. Sometimes we just need to be reminded of just how good our God is to us. In just a moment, we'll sing a hymn of invitation, and you'll have opportunity to respond, whether in the auditorium or in your home, to bow before the Lord. Perhaps you're listening or tuning in tonight and you don't even know that you have an eternal home in heaven. I'm telling you, you can know that tonight. You can reach out to one of us. We'd be happy to help you through either the Facebook or through YouTube, and we could help show you how you can know you have eternal life. But the encouragement here is found in knowing that we can confidently say, I love the Lord, because of all he's done for us in the midst of our trials. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this day. We thank you for your word. Thank you for the Psalm of David here. And Lord, I pray that you would continue to work in hearts tonight. And Father, I pray that you would bless the time of invitation. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.